What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Terry, I want to play something you said about President Putin. This was right after the invasion in March of 2022. Take a look.
This guy lies, habitually lies. He's never kept a deal he's ever signed, and he's lied. He lies all the time. And I don't know why, but he plays us like a violin in the West, because the West wants to believe that you can cut a deal with everybody. You can't cut a deal with guys like this. He's a professional, experienced liar.
Mr. Secretary, given that, what makes you think that if you are able to reach a deal with President Putin, that he would stick to it, based on, as you just said, he's a liar?
Well, that's the point. That's why the deal has to have enforceable mechanisms in it. That's why the deal has to have things like security guarantees. That's the point I was making a few minutes ago when you were asking me about looking someone in the eye. What's important here is actions, not words, not paper, document. Those are all important. Those are elements of a deal, but they have to be enforceable. They have to be verifiable. They have to be enduring. There's no point here in signing a deal that's going to be violated in 3 or 4 months. There's no point in doing that. It actually would make things worse. So that's why this is such a difficult thing. Not only do you need a deal, you need a deal that's verifiable, that's enforceable, and that's enduring. If you don't achieve that, then I think you could have a ceasefire for a few months, a few weeks, and then the war will start again and more people will die. That's not the outcome we're interested in. That's not the outcome anyone wants. So that's why this is so difficult.
That is Marco Rubio, the Secretary of State, speaking there to MS Now. That's a whole nother ball of wax. Did you guys hear that MSNBC is rebranded to MS Now? What the heck is that? A little separation from NBC. That was Meet the Press with Kristen Welker. And you got to just love the... If you haven't had the opportunity to view that clip, you need to check it out. Because while Kristen Welker... They found that clip, you know, in the back room. Some producers found it. Kristen Welker found it. And they're like, oh, we got Rubio. We're going to get him. We're going to get him good. And they play that clip of Rubio, then Senator Rubio, in 2022... Now, you remember, that's like when this war actually started. We've been doing this for a while now as a global audience to what Vladimir Putin has been doing to Ukraine through this war. And Kristen Welker pulls this up. Senator Rubio saying, you can't trust a darn thing this man says. He's a liar. You can't make a deal with a liar because he's always gonna lie. And Kristen Welker thinks, we got him. Let's play it. Let's air it for him. Let's air it straight to his face. I want you to watch that video clip if you get the chance to. We played it here on our video live stream that we're doing right now, because I want you to see how Secretary Rubio doesn't even blink. He doesn't flinch. He doesn't squirm. He doesn't sit there and show some sort of, oh, no, this is they're feeding me my own words. You know why? Because he knows that it's different right now. He knows that the circumstances have changed, because what did happen in 2022? Who was in charge then? You've got a Biden administration who only used words and used words that they poll tested to try to make sure that they could sway the American public, the American voting public, to always lean towards their side. It sure as heck didn't work. The Biden administration would use their word and the fear of people like Secretary Rubio, then Senator Rubio, would be that our administration would take Vladimir Putin at his word and then go with it. You remember the foreign policy, the diplomacy of the Joe Biden administration when this was happening? He said, don't. And then he said, but if you do, make it small, make it tiny, make it a little one, not a big one, not a 3+ year war. Not a war where you have... I heard this the other day. The deaths in this war, this conflict, are 5 Vietnams. Does that frame it for us a little bit better? It sure did for me. This has been an incredibly bloody war. Children, families losing their young. The president of Russia, Vladimir Putin, is kidnapping Ukrainian children and essentially putting them on the market in Russia and training others to fight for Russia, stealing them out of their Ukrainian homes. This is an absolutely grotesque, horrible, bloody war, and it has to stop. Now, is there a difference? You got to think about this, and you got to think about this long and hard, because Kristen Welker's question there to Secretary Rubio is a setup gotcha question. Welker's position there, and the only reason why I think you and I can both know this, and Brian, you can tell me if you think that this is an unfair judgment. I would feel differently about that question if it was the same thing if Shannon Bream put it to Secretary Rubio compared to Kristen Welker on NBC. I think it's a hugely different context.
100%. Absolutely. Different context, different people.
Welker and NBC want to see our administration fail. Do you remember when Rush Limbaugh said he hoped Obama failed?
Yes.
That was a huge deal. It was like, how an American can you be? And there's an entire industry in our media right now that is set up to make sure that they're not only cheering for these people to fail, they want to be the people who trip them up and cause them to fail. So there's a way you can ask this question. And I say this all the time as an interviewer. If I have a guest on my show who's facing a rough line of story, you know, headlines that are coming their way, I think if, especially if you're somebody who is politically friendly to me, to our audience here, I'm still going to ask you a tough question because you deserve the right to answer for it in your own words. Now, I'm not saying you have to be politically friendly to be able to ask those questions, but you and I know, because we have two eyes and at minimum two brain cells to rub together, that Kristen Welker is not rooting for the success of Secretary of State Marco Rubio and certainly the Donald Trump administration, right? I think we can all agree upon that, right? She asked this question, and Rubio's answer is not to say that what he said in 2022 was wrong. It's to say his point is like, exactly. Thank you for playing that clip. He's a liar. We know he's a liar. That's why we have to have a bunch of items in place to make sure that he can, yes, give us his word, but words don't mean anything if the actions don't follow. So we are going to use our brain cells to make sure that it's an airtight deal. This is the agreement that we want to make. Vladimir Putin comes out, gives, you know, his Friday meeting was, and the press conference was, I would say, very cordial between the two on the surface, that we're going to be in a position where, yeah, we can have an agreement. It looks all politically rosy and sunshine on the outside, but what in the heck is happening behind those closed doors? What kind of sanctions? What kind of regulations? What kind of security commitments? Is the European Union that has to be the lead on this because they share a border with Ukraine, along with the might and power and will of the United States of America? What are they going to do to say, here's our agreement, let's put it on paper, and if you don't, we will? What are the backup concessions, the securities? You have a Trump administration engaging in actual negotiations that are going to be thought through for the actual intent of achieving some sort of peace. Now, here's where we get to the important question of the day. There are people who are going to use the absolute evil nature of Vladimir Putin against Donald Trump. They're going to say that Donald Trump is not going to be able to get Vladimir Putin to agree to a forever peace. They're going to say, if anything, and folks, when you hear the people on the left say that this type of a deal isn't going to do anything long term, when Donald Trump is out of office, they might turn around on a dime and invade Ukraine again. Think about that. Like, ooh, I hate the phrase, but let that sink in. Let that simmer a bit in your mind if you haven't quite figured out that Vladimir Putin, and he actually said this on Friday, would never have invaded Ukraine if Donald Trump would have been the president then. They used Joe Biden's weakness. They used the absolute lack of intelligence, will, gut, whatever it is, fortitude of the Democrat Party to stand for something, to stand on principles. They used it, and it led to the murder of, what, hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians?
Mm-hmm.
They used it. So, okay, so you're going to say Donald Trump, as soon as something changes here, as soon as the status quo changes here in the United States, you think Vladimir Putin's not going to go back to his ways? Well, American people, this is your clarion call to make sure the people who can't stand on principle and aren't willing to do what they need to do to flex the might of the United States of America and press upon the European Union to show up and do their job and not just wait for the United States to do the right thing. It's got to be a group effort. And Donald Trump is bringing all those people to the White House on Monday after meeting with Vladimir Putin on Friday, with the potential that we might find out today or at some time. Does that qualify as a suit? Interrupting here.
Ooh. I don't know.
There's a collared shirt.
I think we've met in the middle here. We'll get to it, folks. We'll get to it. Meanwhile, can you get a picture of that pulled up so we can share it on the stream? Donald Trump is bringing all the people together and making them sit down and face each other while they talk about it. Instead of talking to cameras, instead of talking to propaganda-ridden media and all these countries around the world, he's like, let's get a deal done. He can't put a deal in place that's going to last forever. It's on our job. You remember that guy who said, it's a republic if you can keep it? There's always a pressure to maintain peace and to potentially maintain peace through pressure. And Donald Trump is willing to bring all these people together. And really, what he's been saying is, you guys got to work this out. He's not dictating anything because it's not his to dictate. The amount of leftist cheering for Donald Trump's failure that I've seen this weekend, it at the end of the day makes me so sad. The complete and total lack of education that goes into people's willingness. I have taken multiple people that I love dearly outside of my social media view. I said to Jared at one point, I go, I got to respond to this. The post that was put up is so incredibly uninformed and just full of emotional hate. And then the people who react to it, they're just happy that someone's trashing on President Trump. I put up on the Fox News report came out that not only did the Friday meeting with Vladimir Putin go at least on the well side of average, that they were going to stop with the ceasefire talk, which I actually really appreciate this because the ceasefire talk is in a position where it's just out there to be broken. And then it causes the whole thing to be blown, no pun intended. The whole thing goes down the drain because somebody fires a missile. Instead of saying this incremental ceasefire time while we try to achieve peace, let's just see if we can get peace. When? How about next week? And that's what he did. And he's got all these leaders in the White House right now. They're talking about how much pressure they can collectively agreeably put on Vladimir Putin to say, you're going to stop this right now. And here's what you're going to do if we don't. And on the other side of that, Zelensky, you're going to have to take some concessions because the alternative is you continue to put your people in harm's way. The entire world history has been based on ambitious world leaders oftentimes intersecting with an evil nature, moving into places and redefining boundary lines because they are just willing to kill until they can get it. At some point, you have to stop the bleeding. I don't know geographically what that's going to look like, but there are going to have to be tough concessions made on both sides. And now Donald Trump has brought world leaders together. You remember when we were hearing from the left, like in the election last year, how they were talking about like how everybody hates us, nobody wants to work with Donald Trump, it's embarrassing. Why did they all get a call on Friday night, Saturday morning to say, I need you at the White House Monday? Why are they all there right now?
They have to be. They know that this is where the action is, right there.
Yeah. What are they going to do in their own individual European countries? They could have done it the whole time, but they'd have to have the power to summon all of those people for an actual intent of purpose, which could result in peace. Donald Trump has the power. He's wielding it. And we might potentially have peace at the end of it. Pay attention to everybody in your circles right now who are rooting against it. YouTube live chat poll for today. Does it matter if Ukraine President Zelensky wears a suit? Yes or no? I thought I read that he wasn't going to wear a suit, but then he showed up and he might have been wearing a sort of suit, which is a concession I'm willing to be okay with. And I don't even care. I don't even know that I care if he wears a suit.
Up to the minute timeline. He was not wearing a suit earlier when he walked into the White House. Now he looks to be wearing something over that shirt that has a collar.
It's Scott Bessent's,
and buttons.
Scott Bessent's coat.
If you're going to eat here,
like,
sir,
dude,
you're going to need a jacket.
You're going to want to put this on. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Ryan Schmelz is going to join us real quick. We are monitoring every second of the White House Gosh dang it. Are they going live to this? Is this coverage?
Yeah, this is live coverage.
Turn this music off and go straight to this. And let's listen in, because we've got Zelensky, President, we've got these people in the Oval Office. Let's listen.
We've had a lot of good discussions, a lot of good talks. And I think
what's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Progress is being made, very, very substantial progress in many ways. We had a good meeting, as you know, just a short while ago with the president of Russia. And I think there's a possibility that something could come out of it. And today's meeting is very important. We have, I guess, the seven very powerful leaders from Europe. And we're going to be meeting with them right after this meeting. And thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much, Mr. President. If I can, first of all, thank you for the invitation. And thank you very much for your efforts. Personal efforts to stop killings and stop this war. Thank you. And using this opportunity, many thanks to your wife, First Lady of the United States. She sent a letter to Putin about our children, abducted children, and my wife, she, First Lady of Ukraine, she gave the letter. It's not to you, to your wife.
I won't.
Yeah. So we're saying this sensitive topic, yeah. Yes, please. And thanks to our partners, and that you supported this format, that after our meeting we can have leaders who are around us, UK, France, Germany, Italy, Finland, EU, NATO, mm-hmm. I mean, all partners around Ukraine supporting us. Thanks to them. Thank you very much for the invitation.
Thank you very much for being here.
President Trump.
Right. Do you think it's fair?
Yes, Peter, go ahead.
Thank you, President Trump. So, President Zelensky, you say in a post on X today, Russia must end this war, which it itself started. President Trump, you say President Zelensky of Ukraine can end the war with Russia almost immediately if he wants to, which is it?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think they'll, we're going to have a meeting. I think if everything works out well today, we'll have a trilat. And I think there will be a reasonable chance of ending the war when we do that.
And is this the end of the road for American support for Ukraine? Is today's meeting deal or no deal?
I can never say that. It's never the end of the road. People are being killed, and we want to stop that. So I would not say it's the end of the road. No, I think we have a good chance of doing it. It's been almost 4 years now that a lot of people were killed last week. A lot of people last week. I mean, millions of people killed, but a lot of people last week for whatever reason, a big number, a lot of soldiers, both on both sides. And I know the president, I know myself, and I believe Vladimir Putin wants to see it ended.
And as you met with Putin on Friday, today you've got President Zelensky here. As you listen to Russia and Ukraine, which side has the better cards?
Right? Well, I don't want to say that. I'm just here to be. Look, this isn't my war. This is Joe Biden's war. He's the one that had a lot to do with this happening, and we want to get it ended. And we want it to end good for everybody. We want it to end good. The people of Ukraine have suffered incredibly.
President Zelensky, are you prepared to keep sending Ukrainian troops to their deaths for another couple years, or are you going to agree to redraw the maps?
Thank you for your question. So, first of all, you know, we live under each day attacks. You know that today have been a lot of attacks and a lot of wounded people, and the child was dead, small one year and a half. So we need to stop this war, to stop Russia, and we need support, American and European partners. And we will do our best for this. So, and I think we show that we are strong people, and we supported the idea of the United States, of personally of President Trump, to stop this war, to make a diplomatic way of finishing this war. And we are ready for trilateral, as President said. This is a good signal about trilateral. I think this is very good. Thank you.
Mr. President,
if the peace deal will be achieved, are you going to be willing to send American peacekeepers to Ukraine?
Well, we're going to work with Ukraine, we're going to work with everybody, and we're going to make sure that if there's peace, the peace is going to stay long term. This is very long term. We're not talking about a 2-year peace and then we end up in this mess again. We're going to make sure that everything's good. We'll work with Russia, we're going to work with Ukraine, and we're going to make sure it works. And I think if we can get to peace, it's going to work. I have no doubt about it.
Your team has talked about security guarantees. Could that involve U.S. troops? Would you rule that out in the future?
We'll let you know that maybe later today. We're meeting with 7 great leaders of great countries also, and we'll be talking about that. They'll all be involved, but there'll be a lot of help. When it comes to security, there's going to be a lot of help. It's going to be good. They are first line of defense because they're there. They're Europe. But we're going to help them out also. We'll be involved.
Mr. President, Vladimir Putin mentioned that the war will not end without addressing the root causes of this war. Have you had an understanding what are the root causes of this war?
Well, look, the war is going to end. When it ends, I can't tell you, but the war is going to end, and this gentleman wants it to end, and Vladimir Putin wants it to end. I think the whole world is tired of it, and we're going to get it ended. It was, I've done 6 wars. I've ended 6 wars, and I thought this maybe would be the easiest one, and it's not the easiest one. It's a tough one. A lot of reasons for it. And they'll be talking about it for a long time, but they'll be talking about the others. Look, India, Pakistan, we're talking about the big places. When you look at, you just take a look at some of these wars, you go to Africa and take a look at that, Rwanda and the Congo, Republic of the Congo. That's been going on for 31 years. And so we've done a total of 6, and we really have 6, not including the fact that we obliterated, and it turned out to be a total obliteration, the future nuclear capability of Iran. And this one, I think we're going to get solved also. I feel confident we're going to get it solved.
Thank you, Mr. President. Can you tell us about your conversations with European leaders and what they need to see to support an end to the war?
Yeah, well, we're going to be meeting with a great representative group and 7 very powerful, very big countries and great people, all friends of mine and friends of yours. And we're going to have some suggestions made. They want to see peace. They would like to see peace.
President Trump, do you think it's fair to for Ukraine and for Russia to achieve a lasting and durable peace if Ukraine cedes its territories that Russia hasn't yet conquered? Do you think it's a fair peace for Ukraine?
We're going to have a lasting peace. Just to answer the first part of your question, we're going to have a lasting peace. I hope it's going to be immediately. I hope it doesn't have to go on. And I think people of the whole world is going to be very happy when that's announced.
You posted on social media, Mr. President, a very touching letter from the First Lady. And the letter was hand-delivered to President Putin. And it calls for an end to the war, essentially, because of the children and the children's future. Why did the First Lady feel that letter was necessary? Was it because she believes that Mr. Putin is the aggressor in the war? Is a similar letter being hand-delivered to President Zelensky?
So the First Lady felt very strongly. She's watched the same thing that you watch and that I watch. I see things that you don't get to see, and it's horrible. But when she's got a great love of children, she has a wonderful son that she loves, probably more than anybody, including me. I hate to say it, but she loves her son. She loves children, and she hates to see something like this happening. And that goes for other wars too. I mean, she sees the heartbreak, the parents, the funerals that you see on television. Always funerals. We want to see something other than funerals. No, she felt it was a beautiful letter. It was very well received by him. And she did ask me to say, you know, she She would love to see this end. She would love to see it end. And she says it very openly, very proudly, and with great sorrow, because so many people have been killed.
Last week,
Brian, go ahead, Brian.
Yes, sir. I've got a question for each of you. Yes. First of all, Mr. President Zelensky, you look fabulous in that suit.
I said the same thing.
Yeah, look, you look good.
I said the same thing.
Yeah, looks good.
I said to one that attacked you last time. See, that was
I remember that. Yeah,
I apologize to you. You look wonderful. No, my first question for you, President Zelensky.
In the same suit. I changed you.
Maybe yours is much better. Real quickly, upon peace, God willing to get peace, are you open to holding an election in your country?
Yes, of course. We are open for election, yes. We have to do safety circumstances, and a little bit we need to work in the parliament, because during the war you can't have elections, but we can do security. We need a truth, yes, everywhere, in the battlefield, in the sky, and the sea, yeah, to make possible for people to do democratic, open, legal elections.
So you say during the war you can't have elections. So let me just say 3.5 years from now, so you mean if we happen to be in a war with somebody, no more elections. Oh, that's good. I wonder what the fake
you like this idea.
Speaking of news, I got a question for you. This sounds insane for me even to ask this, but do you think the American media really doesn't even want a peace deal? Because they've seen they've been so critical of you every step of the way as you lead the charge for peace.
It's an amazing phenomenon. I said that if in the settlement you got Moscow, St. Petersburg, and thousands of miles around them, they would say I made a bad deal. The level of hatred and animosity is incredible. Not with all. I mean, we have great people up here. We also have terrible people up there that I think are told what to say. But, you know, in solving all of these wars, they don't even write about it. You know, I saw major wars. I saw wars that have been going on for 31, 35, and 37, and a couple of quicker ones. One that was going to go into a full-blown deal very quickly. You know what the one I'm talking about. It was a big one. But they don't even write about that. No matter what I do, no matter what, and you know, this is not anything to do with you. It's probably to your advantage in a certain way. But no matter what I do, no matter what deal I make, from my standpoint, you'll come out good. Maybe President Putin will come out good. But they'll say, Trump was absolutely horrible. It's just that, and I've lived with that for a long time. I've lived with it since just before the first election. I used to get great publicity. Now I get the worst publicity anyone's ever gotten in office, but I won in a landslide, so that people understand they're the only ones that count ultimately. But I've also had great reporters. I've had journalists that are very good. But it's very sad when you do the right thing. As an example, they said, because of the fact that Vladimir Putin came to American soil, this was a tremendous defeat for Donald Trump. No, it was really wonderful that he did it. It was a hard thing for him to do, to be honest with you. It was the opposite of what they said, but they said it. Now, if he didn't come, they'd say that was also bad for Trump. Yeah, there's no way. And there's just a great dishonesty of the press, and I think that's why it's lost its credibility. You know, its credibility is at an all-time low. We have a thing going on right now in D.C. We went from the most unsafe place anywhere to a place that now people, friends are calling me up, Democrats are calling me up, and they're saying, sir, I want to thank you. My wife and I went out to dinner last night for the first time in 4 years, and Washington, D.C. is safe. And you did that in 4 days. I'll tell you, it's safe. I had another friend of mine. He has a son who's a great golfer. He's on tour. And he came in fourth yesterday in the big tournament where Scottie Scheffler made the great shot. And he said his son is going to dinner in Washington, D.C. tonight. I said, would you have allowed that to happen a year ago? He said, no way. No way. He said, what you've done is incredible. And I think the people realize it. But the press says, he's a dictator. He's trying to take over. No, all I want is security for our people. But people that haven't gone out to dinner in Washington, D.C. in 2 years, are going out to dinner, and the restaurants the last 2 days were busier than they've been in a long time.
Sir, I walked around yesterday with MTG. If you could walk around with D.C. with MTG and not be attacked, the city is safe.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. President. Last week, you warned of what you called severe consequences if a 30-day ceasefire or any type of ceasefire were not agreed to by Russia. Will there be severe consequences? Does that change because of the
meeting with the president? I don't think you need a ceasefire. You know, if you look at the six deals that I settled this year, they were all at war. I didn't do any ceasefires. And I know that it might be good to have, but I can also understand strategically why, well, you know, one country or the other wouldn't want it. You have a ceasefire and they rebuild and rebuild and rebuild, and, you know, maybe they don't want that. But if you look at the six deals that we made peace and you know, long-term, long-running wars, I didn't do any ceasefires. Would I like? I like the concept. You know, I like the concept of a ceasefire for one reason, because you'd stop killing people immediately, as opposed to in 2 weeks or 1 week or whatever it takes. But we can work a deal where we're working on a peace deal while they're fighting. They have to fight. I wish they could stop. I'd like them to stop. But strategically, that could be a disadvantage for one side or the other. But all of these deals I made without even the mention of the words ceasefire.
Can you explain the decision to offer Ukraine Article 5-like security guarantees, but stop short of pushing for their full membership?
Yeah, well, we haven't done anything on that yet. If you look back and you go back long before President Putin, it was always a statement that they would never allow Ukraine into NATO. So that was a statement that was made. But we haven't discussed any of that yet. We're going to be discussing it today. But we will give them very good protection, very good security. That's so, part of it. And the people that are waiting for us, they are, I think they're very like-minded. They want to help out also.
Thank you, President Trump.
Are you disappointed there's no
United States,
Mr. President?
The United States has already given hundreds of billions of dollars to this war effort in Ukraine.
Biden.
At best, it is a stalemate, and the killing continues. So, President Trump, how much more is the United States willing to give Ukraine? And President Zelensky, how much more do you want?
Well, I'll start off just by saying we're not giving anything now. We're selling weapons. This is something before, I guess the number is well over $300 billion. That was under Joe Biden, a corrupt politician, not a smart man, never was. By the way, go back 40 years. He was not a smart man 40 years ago either. But now he's in particular bad. This was done by a corrupt administration that shouldn't have been in, and frankly, if the right results of the election were given, if I were president, this war would have never taken place. And he would have been very happy, because he would have liked to have seen. I mean, they went through hell. He went through hell. This war would have never happened. And the people that were killed, a couple of million people, a lot of people with soldiers and everything else, and the people that have been displaced and forced into other areas and other countries because of what's happened, none of that would have happened. And I'm just saying that he was a horrible president, whether it was the borders or this. He was just a horrible, corrupt president.
Mr. President,
you want to understand?
I can. Thanks so much. So, first of all, we have possibility now to buy weapons from the United States. We are thankful for this program and this opportunity. We are thankful for Europe. They pay for this. And through NATO program, for example, Pearl and etc., we have some programs where we can have some money to finance this. And this is a part, I think, it's not a part for the war and to defend us. It also will be a part for security guarantees, to strengthen our army, to rearm Ukrainian army. This is very, very important. And it depends how much money we need to rearm. For example, the question of air defense, we spoke about it with President Trump, and I'm happy that we have now bilateral decisions and we work on it with production, American production. Nobody in Europe has so many air defense like Patriots, for example. We need it very much. And this is also about defending.
I think the good news, we make the best military equipment in the world by far. You mentioned the Patriots. How good are they?
Yeah, systems.
We have systems. They're literally 100% foolproof. And it's really like shooting two bullets you know, two bullets hitting each other in the air in a space like this, the chances, 100%, it's 99 to 100%. So we sell the equipment to NATO, and NATO does what, I don't know what the arrangement is that you have with, but I know that they want you to have the equipment. And we're getting the best equipment in the world, but they pay us for the equipment. Under Biden, it was just crazy what was going on. I believe the number is over 300. I think it could be $350 billion worth of equipment and money and everything else. And we've made more progress in settling this war in the last 2 months than they made in 4 years. This should have been settled a long time ago, but it should have never happened. Yeah, please.
Mr. President, real quickly, you pushed out on social media.
Brian, go first.
You pushed out on social media about doing away with mail-in ballots and potentially electronic voting machines. Can you expand on that and how important that is?
Well, that's a very off-topic, just really quickly. Mail-in ballots are corrupt. Mail-in ballots, you can never have a real democracy with mail-in ballots. And we, as a Republican Party, are going to do everything possible that we get rid of mail-in ballots. We're going to start with an executive order that's being written right now by the best lawyers in the country to end mail-in ballots because they're corrupt. And you know that we're the only country in the world, I believe, I may be wrong, but just about the only country in the world that uses them. Because of what's happened, massive fraud all over the place. The other thing we want change are the machines. For all of the money they spend, it's approximately 10 times more expensive than paper ballots. And paper ballots are very sophisticated with the watermark paper and everything else. We would get secure elections. We'd get much faster results. The machines, I mean, they say we're going to have the results in 2 weeks. With paper ballots, you have the results that night. Most people, many countries use paper ballots. It's the most secure form. So between paper ballots, very, very important, paper ballots, and I think maybe even more important, the mail-in voting. We're going to end mail-in voting. It's a fraud. If you have mail-in vote, even Jimmy Carter with this commission, they set it up. He said the one thing about mail-in voting, you will never have an honest election if you have mail-in. And it's time that the Republicans get tough and stop it, because the Democrats want it. It's the only way they can get elected, because with men and women sports and with transgender for everybody and open borders and all of the horrible things. And now the new thing is they love crime. They're fighting me on the fact that I've made Washington, D.C. safe. We're not going to get mugged, beaten up, or killed like all the people you've been watching get so badly hurt. I'm glad. I hate to take your time with this, but I'm glad you asked me that question.
Sorry.
We're going to stop mail-in ballots because it's corrupt. You know, when you go to a voting booth and you do it the right way and you go to a state that runs it properly, you go in. They even ask me. They ask me for my license plate, for identity. I said, I don't know if I have it. He said, sir, you have to have it. I was very impressed, actually. But it's very hard to cheat with mail-in voting. As you know, what happens in California, it's so corrupt where some people get 5, 6, 7 ballots delivered to them. Now, we got to stop mail-in voting, and the Republicans have to lead the charge. The Democrats want it because they have horrible policy. If you have mail-in voting, you're not going to have many Democrats get elected. That's bigger than anything having to do with redistricting, believe me. And the Republicans have to get smart. We're not going to have a country. I said for a long time at rallies, you need borders and you need free and fair elections. Those two things. Otherwise, you don't have. We have strong borders now. In 90 days, Mr. President, we didn't have 3 months. Not one person came in illegally into our country. In fact, even I find that hard to believe, but it's run by a little bit of a liberal group that put out the numbers, so I guess it's, but 0, 0, and 0. You go back a year ago, 2 years ago, three, millions of people poured into our country. It was terrible. Thank you very much.
The president speaking there from the Oval Office, of course. As we go to a break, they flash that on the news and we're able to just throw everything out the door so that we can bring you the live coverage with our Fox News affiliation. As it happens, we're grateful to be here for you. We are watching with bated breath to see what the president is able to facilitate at the White House. All the countries in the European Union that were invited have showed up. They're going to go have a discussion right now with President Trump and President Zelensky. And there is discussion that possibly by Friday, there could be a materialization that involves a conversation between the two warring countries to achieve peace. Or maybe it all falls apart during this show. We're going to watch and wait throughout the course of the day here and bring you everything as it happens. But in the meantime, when we come back, how many segments do we have left this hour? One. Wiggins America.
Let's do the other.
Wait, is Ryan...
Ryan's still here.
So we're going to do Ryan Schmelz next?
Yes.
Sorry, second best Ryan.
That's always.
Even when you're the only one in the room?
No.
Ryan Schmelz on the Annie Fry Show. Let's talk about redistricting next. Don't go away.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
This is from Chicago, and those are Democrats from Texas boarding a plane. Now, I guess we don't know exactly where the plane is headed at this point, but we do know that there are reports that Texas Democrats are planning to return to Texas today, ending their walkout, which are protesting Republican redistricting plans. So Texas Democrats getting on a plane in Chicago. If they go back to Texas, it will likely pave the way for Republicans to pass the new congressional map. Also today, in California, Democrats...
So you got CNN there reporting on the Texas Democrats. These are state House Democrats. Headed back to Texas, maybe, to get that quorum? Hope so, because my understanding is that the flood relief funding is being held up because they don't have a quorum, so they can't vote on it. Now we hear that in California, Gavin Newsom, they're talking about redistricting in a hard way. And then we get an article today that says that Governor Kehoe in Missouri is like, well, I think we should take a look at our maps as well. There's a lot going on, folks. And we got Ryan Schmelz here, who's been hanging out with us as we listen to President Trump and President Zelensky take questions from the press. Ryan, thank you for your patience with us. First, I want to give you the opportunity to react to anything you heard, anything pique your interest listening to President Trump and Zelensky sitting there in the Oval Office answering questions.
I mean, I think there's a breath of fresh air that's going on across the country right now that both of them were able to survive that without any feistiness or anything blowing up because, they took a lot of questions, similar to what they did last time. But it looks as though they were able to get through this, and now we're on to the meeting portion of this. So actual business potentially could get done. But I think everyone was just kind of watching to make sure that this got through smoothly. And for the most part, it looks like it did. President Trump still had a couple haymakers to throw, not at Zelensky, but Joe Biden got brought into this, the former president. You had mail-in balloting that got trashed because of this, and you even had a couple comments on D.C. crime. So I think it was kind of the press conference we thought that he might have with Russian President Putin, or at least after that meeting with Russian President Putin. But very uncharacteristically of Trump, he left after that meeting and didn't take any questions. This one obviously got started in a very different fashion.
Yes, it certainly did. Ryan Schmelz speaking with us right now, the Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent. Honored to have him here with us here on the Annie Fry Show this afternoon. While we have the Congress in recess, there's so much going on right now in discussions regarding the House of Representatives. And those districts kind of started in Texas, but Texas would say, oh, no, we didn't start it. Let's talk about California. Let's talk about Illinois, of course, where I live. What is the status right now of this redistricting, and which story is you following the closest?
I think it's going to be Texas and California for the time being, because right now, California is the first one to really go on with the whole fight fire with fire attitude, where they're going to be trying to pretty much put on the ballot a constitutional amendment that would overturn the state's nonpartisan redistricting commission. That was put in back when Governor Schwarzenegger was in office, and he's kind of getting back into politics a little bit, and he's kind of railing against the California Democrats who are pushing for this. And I think what makes it different difference between California and Texas, that you have California Republicans who are pretty confident in how this is going to go because, number one, they got to get this through the legislature before they can even put it on a ballot and make it into a special election. But if they're able to do that, they think that there is polling out there that shows that the idea of getting rid of a nonpartisan redistricting commission is extremely unpopular in their state, not just with Republicans, but also Democrats and independents. So even if it makes it that far, they think they can win this thing on a ballot and pretty much strike this thing down on an election day. Now, on the Texas side of things, we are hearing reports that Texas Democrats are supposed to be ending their redistricting campaign or their protest, we should say. So it's just a matter of time now before this quorum gets called and they can finally have a vote on this gerrymandering bill or this redistricting bill and establish the new maps for Texas.
Ryan, I've seen some polling experts and numbers people suggest that Texas's map, the new map, is pretty much a sure thing for Republicans adding those seats. But the California's is anything but. Have you heard anything about that?
I would say that we have not seen the California map yet. It would still make a number of – it would still give Democrats an advantage. I don't think there's any question about that. It's just the matter of can they even get the map into law? You know, the Texas – I guess state constitution makes it a lot easier for them to do this mid-decade redistricting effort than it is in California's because Schwarzenegger, while he was in office, put that nonpartisan redistricting commission in, and that's in the state constitution. So there's a lot of loopholes they have to cross over in order to make that into law. So the Republicans in Texas are set up in a way that's a lot gives them a better advantage to do this than the Democrats do in California.
I want to speak right now, shift issues or topics right now as we speak with Ryan Schmelz, the Fox News Radio Capitol Hill and White House correspondent on the Bill Barr revisiting there to Capitol Hill. Former Trump attorney general arrives to face House investigators in Epstein probe. That's the Fox News headline. Why is Bill Barr going back to Capitol Hill? What are they asking him questions about?
So Bill Barr is the first of numerous former officials, whether it be the Trump administration, the Biden administration, the Obama administration, even going as far back as the Bush administration and the Clinton administrations, pretty much they are bringing in officials from all those admins to come in and talk about Jeffrey Epstein. And if there is a potential client list for Jeffrey Epstein out there, Bill Barr is the first one to come in. From what we understand, according to Chairman James Comer, he didn't say anything incriminating about President Trump. He says that he never had any discussions with President Trump about a client list or the Epstein client list. So it looks like there was maybe some information that was learned, but maybe not any type of smoking gun that Bill Barr revealed today. So this is the first one. There will be more. This one just seems like it didn't really have anything that stood out immediately.
Ryan Schmelz with us right now. Last question before we let you go. I just wanted to have another conversation with you about the safety and security of Washington, D.C. As a resident there, Ryan, you've experienced it, obviously, outside of your professional life, your personal life. If you live in D.C., you might have some sort of opinion on the level of crime there. What have you witnessed as a resident of Washington, D.C. since Donald Trump has put in place the home rule situation?
I mean, I think the most noticeable thing we've seen so far is the protests that have happened. I mean, this weekend, there were a ton that went on throughout the district. Now, what was noticeable, because I live in the neighborhood where a lot of these teen juveniles have committed a lot of these actions that have caused President Trump to want to bring forward this takeover. I don't think we really saw any of that in our neighborhood, at least any time. I mean, we didn't really see any juveniles from what I remember over the weekend. There was a pretty hefty police presence around the Nats Park, which is usually common, but I think it was a little bit more of an uptick than normal this weekend. So, I mean, it's still, I think, too early to tell if there's been a true impact by this. Certainly, there's been a number of arrests that the White House has pointed out. But right now, I think a lot of the attention turns to the legal cases involving this because, you know, D.C. city leaders are trying to sue the Trump administration to be able to pretty much overturn this takeover. So we'll see how successful they are.
Ryan Schmelz, thank you so much for waiting with us a little bit later there because of the president's press conference from the White House, from the Oval Office. We look forward to having you back again. So much going on. You're always a great source of information for us.
Sounds good, Annie. Thank you.
Take care. Have a great Monday. That was Ryan Schmelz, Fox News Radio, Capitol Hill, and White House correspondent. Always wonderful to have him on there. And, of course, President Trump and President Zelensky in the Oval Office earlier this hour. We carried that for you. And if anything breaks at all during the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk, you're going to hear about it first right here. Let's talk to Steve Moore next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.